Hello again. Welcome to our program. We continue with our second message entitled The Tents and the Churches. Bit of a review we saw in our previous program concerning the tents, Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 8, we read in these words, "Which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes." There's the instructions that God had for Israel as they dwelt in their tents. Israel did not like God's plan, and they refused to stay with it. And as a result, they paid a terrible price. God's leaders decided that they would rather trust their own plan. So in 1 Samuel 8, verse 4 and 5, we read, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel under Ramah and said unto him, Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We want to be like all the nations." Well, they did it, and as we said, they paid a terrible price. So today, we have our churches. In Israel, it was God's purpose to show himself powerful through his tribes. Today, God's purpose is to show himself powerful through his local churches. 1 Corinthians 10:11 said, "Now all these things happen unto them," Israel, "for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Well, like Israel, we said, "No, Lord, we know what the Bible says, but we want to do it like the world does it." God's plan for our age is like Israel's, plain and simple. For Israel, it was priests teaching the people and parents training the families to do what God commanded. God's plan for our day is local churches, Acts 16:5, and so were the churches established. And God gave pastors who are to teach faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so Ephesians 4:11-12, he gave some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The plan was plain and the plan was simple. God wanted pastors teaching the Word of God and parents teaching their children how to follow the Word of God. Ephesians 6:4 especially says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Well, we, like Israel, decided we had a better plan. 1 Samuel 8:4, the elders gathered themselves together and decided they want to do it like the world does it. We did the same thing around 1900. We gathered together and said, "We need a movement. We need a movement." In the late 1800s and early 1900s, God's leaders, some good men, gathered together because they were concerned about the advancement of modernism and liberalism. We decided something needed to be done to combat our Philistines. So we decided we needed an ism to stand against modernism and liberalism, and we called it fundamentalism. Our leaders decided God's local churches scattered everywhere could not handle the threat. And like Israel, we forsook God's way and went the way of the world. And God's local churches were made to be considered insignificant. The world has colleges, we organize colleges. The world has doctor's degrees. Oh, we give doctor's degrees. We've never had so many doctors in our fundamental churches, and the churches have never been so sick. So apparently the doctors aren't doing it. The world has newspapers, we'll start newspapers. The world has magazines, we'll start magazines. They have seminars, oh, we'll organize seminars. The world has associations. Do you know the Baptists have over 300 different associations? The world has a board of directors, so our parachurch ministries, we have our boards. Now, there's nothing wrong with a local church having a college and a newspaper and a magazine and all these things. Church can do that. It's when we get outside the church and we do that which is right in our own eyes, and that's what we have to do because there's no scripture to tell us how to run a parachurch organization. The fact remains that we never needed to join the world's list of movements. All we had to do was stay with God's program like we did for nearly 2,000 years. Our fundamental movement is not and never has been and never will be the answer. God's local church is the only way, the only plan that we have been given in the scriptures. The local church is pictured in the Word of God. It is a company of believers meeting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, standing in a bold moral contradiction to modernism and liberalism of the world. That's it. If pastors taught their people as commanded, and parents made sure their families lined up with the scriptures, the job would be done. But now our preaching is generic. Let's just say everything to keep people coming back, and we got to pay the mortgage. God's plan has always been simple. For Israel, it was the tribes of Israel. In our age, God's plan is the churches. The word churches is found 37 times in the New Testament. 7 times in God's final book in the New Testament, we read, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the movements." No, that does not say that. It says unto the churches. And so God's plan is simple. His method is simply pastors teaching and preaching the truth, and fathers instilling these truths in the heart of the family. We decided we had a better plan. The influence of pastors and parents faded, and the influence of college presidents took control. Pastors, parents, no. So soon the phrase, "as goes the colleges, so go the churches," became an unscriptural fact. God's plan is pastors in every city. Today, parachurch groups have more influence than most pastors. Scores of ministries with no scriptural foundation continue to spring up around the world. There are now thousands of so-called fundamental parachurch ministries on the internet doing that which is right in their own eyes. They have to. They have no scripture to tell them how to do it. To add to our fundamental confusion in the last 50 years, new issues have come to the forefront. With many fundamentalists taking many different positions concerning these issues, or taking no position at all. A partial list includes such important issues as Bible translations, music standards, dress standards, Calvinism, salvation. Oh yeah, we've changed the plan of salvation. You don't need to repent. Jesus said you do. Repentance, separation, all these issues. And so while many fundamentalists continue taking different positions on these issues, it becomes obvious that the word fundamental means many different things to many different people. The term now raises more questions than it answers. Fundamentalism is an ism. Now the dictionary says an ism is a tag hooked on the end of a name that promotes a belief accepted as authoritative by a group. This is what us fundamentalists believe. For example, communism, Marxism, socialism, modernism, Mohammedanism, Unitarianism, Catholicism, Nazism, Zionism, and fundamentalism. We have our list. We have a tag hooked on the end of our name that promotes a belief that is accepted as authoritative by a group. Never mind what the Bible says. What's the group say? The world has its socialism. Socialism is a mixture of communism, Marxism, anarchism, and anything contrary to capitalism. Like socialism, we fundamentalists have our own mixture of fundamentalism. We have neo-fundamentalism, pseudo-fundamentalism, militant fundamentalism, modern fundamentalism, and the list goes on. The world has its modernism. Now, what is modernism? Modernism represents those who modify traditional beliefs according to modern ideas. Since modernism represents the present as opposed to the past, modernism changes every few years. So, like modernism, fundamentalism has modified its beliefs to line up with modern ideas. The world has its liberalism. Liberalism represents those who are open to new behavior or opinions. By the way, an opinion is something not based on fact. Open to new opinions, behavior or opinions, and are willing to discard traditional values. Going on big time in our so-called fundamental churches today. Like liberalism, many who travel under the banner of fundamentalism are open to new behaviors or opinions while discarding traditional values. I've been a Christian for over 68 years. During that time, fundamental groups have come and they have gone. I have watched different groups of fundamentalists form their own core of beliefs concerning what they thought was important. Many fundamentalists have changed their position on such issues as the King James Bible, music standards, dress standards, separation, repentance, and other issues. These things were and are being set aside for new modern ideas of what we call fundamentalism. I remember when the World Congress of Fundamentalists met in Edinburgh, Scotland in 1976. In their resolutions under what we believe, they said, I quote, a fundamentalist maintains an immovable alliance to the inerrant, infallible, and verbally inspired Bible. A fundamentalist believes that whatever the Bible says is so. A fundamentalist judges all things by the Bible and is judged by the Bible and is judged only by the Bible. Well, there's a lot of good words there. Would not Pentecostal churches, Brethren churches, Calvinist churches, and most TV evangelists, while they get in their Mercedes, drive to the airport, fly their jets to a bunch of people who are going to give them a bunch of money, wouldn't they say that's what they believe? They say a fundamentalist maintains an immovable alliance to the inerrant, infallible, and verbally inspired Bible. What Bible? They're using all kinds of translations. Today, there are many people running under the banner of fundamentalism using different translations of the Word of God. They said a fundamentalist believes that whatever the Bible says is so. Wouldn't every Christian denomination say they believe that? They said a fundamentalist judges all things by the Bible and is judged by the Bible and is judged only by the Bible. If all fundamentalists judge all things by the Bible, how is it we have fundamental leaders going in so many different directions? What about the truth? Jesus said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. All truth is all truth. Some fundamentalists believe that repentance is necessary for salvation, while others believe repentance is the enemy of soul winning. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. Some fundamentalists promote Calvinism, while others reject it as heresy. Somebody is right, and somebody is wrong. Some fundamentalists accept Bible teaching concerning separation, music standards, and dress standards as taught in the scriptures, while others reject all of these or part of those as being important truths. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. The Holy Spirit does not have a different truth for different fundamentalists. And so, what's the answer? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be sure to be with us for our next in this series, the tents and the churches.